Good morning. I just want to almost confess something that the elders that speak and pastor, we don't really collaborate on our messages. I guess it's kind of a confession. But, and even though Angie's my wife as the worship leader, I don't typically tell her what I'm going to be speaking about before I get up here. I like to gauge her reactions as a true reaction and see how it goes. But I don't know if you've noticed over the past few weeks, actually months, this has been happening. That different guys get up here to speak, and our messages almost flow one right into the other. I just find it astounding that God would do that for us. Rarely will we say, "All right, we're going to do a series on this." You know, we're going to, you know, talk about this book, and each of us will take a chapter or something like that, and we'll speak on that. But that's very rare. We haven't done it in a couple years, actually. But our messages seem to dovetail together, and that can only be by God's divine power. Today, every song we've sung thus far has to do with my message. And Angie didn't know until last week what I was even talking about. And she has her songs picked out well ahead of time. So I just want to share that with you. And say, sorry, I guess we're not collaborating on our topics, but God kind of works it all out ahead of us anyway. So this morning we're going to be speaking out of Joshua 1 is where I'm going to start. I'm going to pretty much stay in Joshua. But if you want to turn there, Joshua 1 is in the Old Testament. If you don't have a Bible with you, there's probably one in the pew in front of you. Just grab it. If not, tap the guy in front of you and say, "Hey, hand me a Bible." And they'll be sure to help you out. I'll give you a second to turn there. But Joshua 1, I'm going to start right at the very beginning. And if you put up with me, I'm going to read all the way through. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land that I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert of Lebanon to the great river Euphrates and all the Hittite country. To the Mediterranean Sea in the west, no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead the people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give to them. Be strong and very courageous. Careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave to you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." So Joshua ordered the officers of the people to go through the camp and tell the people, "Get your provisions ready. 3 days from now, we will cross the Jordan here to go and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving to you for your own. The Reubenites, but to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, 'Remember the command that the servant of Moses, the servant of the Lord your God, gave to you, and said, "The Lord your God will give you rest by giving you this land. Your wives, your children, your livestock, Your lives, your children, your livestock may stay in the land that Moses gave you east of the Jordan. But all your fighting men, ready for battle, must cross over ahead of your fellow Israelites. You are to help them until the Lord gives them rest. And as he has done for you, until they have taken possession of the land the Lord your God is giving to them. After that, you may go back and occupy your own land, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you east of the Jordan towards the sunrise. Then they answered Joshua, "Whatever you have commanded us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, so we will fully obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your word and does not obey it, whatever you may command them will be put to death. Only be strong and courageous." Now, I think we can all agree that if God says something, we should pay attention. Now, if he says something twice, you better pay attention. Now, in the Word, there's stories that are thrice told, or told three times. It's a fancy word. There's stories that are told three times. And for those, I think we all know that is important. But if you haven't noticed today, as I read through this one chapter, four times, "be strong and courageous" was spoken. Then it was written down for us to read. And I believe for us to live out. See 2 Timothy 3:6, 3:16 and 17 says, "All scriptures God breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." Now today, I'm going to weave a testimony of God through my story. And please know my heart in this. It is not to bring glory to anyone except the King himself. See, because of his weakness, because of my weakness, he is strong. About a month ago, I was praying and asking God, "God, what do you want me to speak on?" You know, we don't collaborate, but we do spend plenty of time in prayer with God. And he said, "Be strong and courageous." I was like, "Hey, thanks for the encouragement. I appreciate that." No, he said, "Be strong and courageous." I was like, "Okay, well, that makes a lot of sense." Because in the natural, some of you know that I was preparing for a kettlebell competition. Actually, it was nationals. The big national competition to make it on Team USA to go represent us at the Worlds. So I thought, okay, be strong. Yeah, he's telling me, okay, I got to be strong and do this thing. And okay. But as I continued to press in and seek the Lord, he continued to speak, "Be strong and courageous." So that morning, the morning of Nationals, I flew out to Chicago by myself and was ready to do battle, so to speak, with other competitors and try and earn my spot on the national team. It's been a goal for a couple years now. Anyway, that morning, he continued to speak to me, "Be strong and courageous." So wasn't the first time I did this, but I broke up in the Word to right here where I just read. And I read Joshua 1. And as I read it, I listened to it. Because a lot of times in the morning as I'm prepping for work or whatever, just get myself ready, I'll listen to the audio version of the Bible. But I listened to it as I read it that morning. Not once. Not twice. Four times. I listened to it. And those words, "be strong and courageous," penetrated in me. Now, one thing I do, I've always done this, like before any kind of competition, I always would pray. Even before I knew God personally like I do now and have the relationship I do with Him, I would always try and get alone and pray before I would wrestle or whatever. And I haven't changed that. You know, I still go before God and ask Him to be with me, help me to perform at the level I've trained to. And now when I'm doing kettlebells, I've actually, it's different because I have that personal relationship with Him. I feel like I'm not just praying and, you know, hey, my little good luck charm or whatever. But now I gather with other believers, you know, you kind of know who they are, you know, because of how they live and how they act. So I gather a couple friends around, not knowing a lot of people at Nationals. I mean, I know the legends that were there, but I don't really know them. I, you know, see their picture on Facebook and stuff, and know their little quips that they say, but I don't know their spirituality. I gathered with two people who I knew were Christians, friends of ours, actually, friends of yours, Will and Eddie Horn. Used to come and sit with Angie and I before they moved away. And so I gathered together, and Eddie's always encouraging me to pray with her before her set. So we got together and we prayed, and prayed the normal things. But I specifically asked God to allow His light to shine through us, regardless of how we did that day. Regardless if we won, or regardless if we dropped the bell before we did our first rep, to let His light shine through us. So, let's go on to take some notes, okay? Today, our outline there has four areas that we are to be strong and courageous in, because He said it four times. There's probably a reason. There is an uphill battle that we fight a lot of times that we need to be encouraged in. That's not just uphill. That's like uphill backwards. And sometimes we feel like that. Sometimes that's the battle we're fighting. Kind of reminds me of the wall we had to climb over at the Spartan race. It's pointed towards you at a 45 degree angle, and you're standing like chest deep in mud, and you had to get over it somehow. But anyway, Peggy did an excellent job finding that picture for me. Thank you. Be strong and courageous. Point number one. Be strong and courageous leading up to the battle. Be strong and courageous leading up to the battle. See, because sometimes you've got to get yourself psyched up before you even get into it. We're going to look at Joshua 3. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of your Lord, your God, and the Levitical priest carrying it, you're to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 2,000 cubits, it's about 10 football fields, between you and the Ark. Do not go near it. Now, just stop there for a second. He says, then you will know which way to go, since you've never been this way before. How many of you are directionally challenged, let's say that, that when somebody says, hey, why don't you come on over to my house? We're having a picnic today. You break out into a cold sweat because you have no idea where they live. And if somebody took away your GPS, you would curl up in a ball. There's people like that. Now, he said, then you will know which way to go, because you're following the ark, since you've never been this way before. So, that may strike some fear into some people. Verse 5, Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. In other words, get ready. Joshua said to the priests, take up the Ark of the Covenant, pass on ahead of the people. So they took it up and went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, today I will exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so that they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses, just like you promised before. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go in and stand in the river. Now, doesn't seem too scary to go stand in the river until you skip down to verse 15. Verse 15 says, Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. So how many of you would go stand in the middle of Susquehanna during a flood? You're smart. Most of you are scampering around to get your stuff up to the second floor. Because you know when that river's coming up, you better get moving. 14, so when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan was at flood stage all during harvest. Yet as soon as the priest who carried the Ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan. While the water was flowing down to the Sea of Arabath, that's the Dead Sea, was completely cut off. Now, when they stepped out, they didn't see it right away. It stopped well uphead, upstream. The water was still rushing by at flood stage. Priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan and stood on dry ground, while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed its crossing on dry ground. Now, point number two, just recap. Crossing the Jordan wasn't a big thing. I mean, it was a big thing, but that wasn't their objective. Their objective, sent forth by God through Moses, was to go in and take Canaan. Canaan's a big area. Jericho is part of that. Now, so that was to be their battle. Point number two, be strong and courageous in the battle. See, this is where the rubber meets the road. A lot of times, people get nervous in the last couple minutes of prep. You know, they're training so that, you know, look, they're training for this, but then they realize, well, this thing is ahead of me, and I didn't ask permission to do this, but I'm going to say, can I tell the story? Okay. We do a Spartan race every year, and some of the people in my family get a little worked up before the race, especially when you pull into the parking lot and you do this to see the top of the mountain that you know you have to get to and overcome a lot of different obstacles in the way. And that one person in our family gets a little bit beside herself. And even once we start, it doesn't get much better for the first mile or so. Why are we doing this? I said, to finish. Let's go. So anyway, be strong and courageous in the battle. That's not me. That person I was talking about is not me. Because I can't wait to get in the heat of the battle. Especially one where I've been training. Because I can't wait to start so that I can clear my mind and just let my training take over. That's what you put yourself through all that torture for. It's for that one moment. That one shining moment. God's going to give me an opportunity. Take a hold of it with both hands, both feet, and everything in you. See, but my problem is that one shining moment when I'm doing kettlebells lasts for 10 minutes. So, yeah, it's a weightlifting competition. It's a power thing, but it's really an endurance thing. You can go out there really fast. I know Sarah's with us, and she runs half marathons and crazy distances. But if you went out there and ran the first 200 yards as fast as you possibly could, you're probably not going to last real long. You'd get out front. But it wouldn't be real long before people would catch you and pass you. And you may not finish. So during my 10 minutes, the enemy not just works on me, but he works on a lot of us that do this. Because he's in your head. He's like, oh man, it's really hot. And it was hot at Nationals. Hot. I mean, you're on stage and all these lights are pointing down at you and you're just dying up there. Oh, the handles. The first time we ever used these bells was at Nationals. Like, they just made these bells for the very first time and the handles were a lot fatter than normal. That's not a problem if you've trained with them. If not, your hands cramp up because they're not used to grabbing that diameter handle. And I saw more people either drop or put them down or actually throw them while they're lifting because they slipped out of their hands at Nationals than I have in any other competition I've ever been in. So they're legitimate excuses. It's kind of working on your mind. But part of the training I had was being in the Word. Part of the training I had was having a strong prayer life. And that morning, I believe, was crucial because God told me 16 times, because I listened to it 4 times, 16 times to be strong and courageous so that at the moment in the battle when I needed it, I could draw on that. Now, Joshua was about to face the giants that he spied out for Moses. Yes, you remember, he was one of the 12 guys that Moses sent in to spy out the land. To see this land that God said is flowing with milk and honey. The grapes were like watermelons, okay? And everything thereafter. They're just huge stuff. Plenty of spoils to be taken. But 10 of his buddies said, no, those guys are huge. We're going to get our butts kicked. We can't go do this. But Joshua and his friend Caleb said, we need to go. We need to go do this. It's what God's telling us to do. We know he's going to be with us. He will surely deliver us into the land. So, 40 years passed. And when all his buddies that gave a negative report died off, today was Joshua's day. You can check out that story in Numbers 13 if you want. Don't do it now. Numbers 13 if you want to write it down. Joshua 5, we're going to start in verse 13. Now Joshua was near Jericho. He looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a sword drawn in his hand. Joshua went up and asked, are you for us or for our enemies? Neither, he replied. But as the commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And Joshua fell face down on the ground in reverence and asked him, what message does my Lord have for his servant? The commander of the Lord's army replied, take off your sandals, for the place you are standing is holy. Now that's said before in the Bible to another guy about ready to start his battles. He talked to his mentor, Moses. God spoke to Moses and said, take off your sandals. The ground where you're standing is holy. And he just told us back that he's going to have the same glory Moses did. But Moses wasn't allowed to enter in because of all the issues that he had with the people. Verse 6. Now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days and have the priests carry the trumpets of the ram's horn in front of the ark. On the seventh day, march around the city 7 times. With the priest blowing the trumpets. When you hear the sound, a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout, then the wall of the city will collapse, and the army will go up in, everyone straight in. Doesn't sound like an awesome plan if I were trying to make it up. But take all your best guys, go wear them out for 7 days straight by walking around this huge city. Have the priests start blowing their horns, but you can't say anything until the last day. And that last day, the day you're actually going to do the battle, we're not just going to do a warm-up lap, but we're going to take 7 laps around this city. You got to get up at the crack of dawn, which is not my friendliest time of day, and go ahead into this. So verse 6, Joshua the son of Nun called to the priests and said to them, take up the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and have 7 priests carry the trumpets in front of it. And he ordered the army, advance. March around the city with an armed guard going ahead of the ark. They did it. They did what he said. They did exactly what he said. On the seventh day, they went around the city. And Joshua commanded the army, shout, for the Lord has given you this city, and the city and all that is in it are to be devoted to the Lord. Devoted means destroyed in this sense. The city and all that is in it are to be devoted to the Lord. Only Rahab and a prostitute who are with her in the house shall be spared, because she had despised that we sent. Verse 18 says, but keep away from the devoted things, so that you will not bring about your own destruction by taking any of them. Otherwise, you will make the camp of Israel liable to destruction and will bring trouble on it. All the silver and gold or articles of bronze and iron are sacred to the Lord and must go into his treasury. See, then the trumpet sounded, the army shouted at the sound of the trumpet. The men gave a shout, and the wall collapsed. So everyone charged in. They took the city. They devoted the city to the Lord and destroyed with the sword every living thing in it. Men, women, young and old, cattle, sheep, and donkeys. Joshua said to the 2 men who had spied out the land, go into the prostitute's house, bring her out, and all who belong to her. In other words, get all her family that they said to stay in there. 24. They burned the whole city and everything in it. But they put the silver and the gold and the articles of bronze and iron into the treasury of the Lord's house. But Joshua spared Rahab the prostitute with her family and all who belonged to her, because she hid the men Joshua had sent out as spies into Jericho. And she lives among Israel to this day. At that time, Joshua declared an oath. So, verse 27 says, So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame spread throughout the land. Just like the Lord said. See, when God tells you something, He means it. He will keep His promises. Point number three. I think this is the most important one. Be strong and courageous after the battle. Because see, win or lose, sometimes the hardest part is keeping your composure right after the battle. Whatever your battle is, we've all seen it on TV. We've all seen Super Bowl heroes. They'll make idiots of themselves right after the game. Or the guys that lost make idiots of themselves after the game. How many times are we reading the paper the next day or see it on the news that night? So-and-so, who just won the Super Bowl, got into a car accident. His blood level, alcohol level was a little high. Or, I'm debating on whether to bring this up, but when I graduated high school, a long time ago, there was a guy named Len Bias, college basketball standout. And that's funny that I'm even telling about a basketball player because it's the only sport I'll admit to not being any good at. Okay, but this was big doings. He was a huge college basketball star for Maryland. They had the draft, the NBA draft, on I believe it was June 17th that year. He got drafted number 2, second overall pick. And a lot of people thought he was the best player. This was 2 years after Michael Jordan went into the league and started just dominating. Okay? We all knew who Michael Jordan is. They said he is on the same par as Michael Jordan from what they saw. Player of the year 2 times straight in college. Junior and senior year. Senior wasn't even close. Got drafted on the 17th. 19th. He was out partying with his friends. Tried a trace amount of cocaine. Had a heart arrhythmia and died. His best friends on the scene helped supply it. Did their best to try and bring him back. Ambulance crew shows up, does their best to try and revive him. Get him to the hospital in Maryland. They do their best. They're struggling for 3 hours to bring this guy back, get breath back in him. Couldn't do it. Because he let his guard down after the battle. That's what his goal was. I'm going to play in the pros. I was doing some research on this last night, and they say he is one of the best athletes to ever not become a pro, to never play a pro game, because he died. Kids, don't even try it. Adults, don't even try it. Keep your guard up. Be strong and courageous after the battle. Joshua 7. See, this isn't just a problem we deal with today. Joshua dealt with it in his day too. Joshua 7 tells us about Achan, one of the warriors that day. But the Israelites were unfaithful in regard to the devoted things, the things they were supposed to destroy or put into the treasury. Achan, son of Carmi, son of Zimri, son of Zeresh of the tribe of Judah, took some of them. So the Lord's anger burned against Israel. can almost relate to the guy. Come on, we're going to burn all this stuff. What's it matter if I stick some silver in my pocket, take a gold bar and a robe? Come on. We're just going to ruin it. Now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is near Beth-Aven, to the east of Bethel, and told them, go up, spy out the region. So the men went up and spied out Ai. They returned to Joshua and said, not all the army will have to go up against Ai. Send out 2,000 or 3,000 men and to take it. Don't weary the whole army. For only a few people live there, so about 3,000 went up. But they were routed by the men of Ai, who killed about 36 of them. Now, I'm going to stop right there, because if they were routed by only 36 of them dying, doesn't sound like a real whooping to me. But if you're used to not losing one guy, that's a lot. They chased the Israelites from the city. They chased the Israelites from the city gate as far as the stone quarries and struck them down on the slopes. At this, the hearts of the people melted in fear and became like water. See, Joshua tore his clothes then. I'm going to just paraphrase the rest here. Joshua tore his clothes and he said, God, what happened? Why would you even bring us across the Jordan? Why would you bring us to this part if you're not going to be with us now? We could have died over there. Well, what's going on? So God told him. He said, stand up. What are you doing down in your face? Israel has sinned and violated my covenant, which I commanded them to keep. We know when we step into some stuff, don't we? When we're in the wrong, we know it. Keep your guard up. So what happens? Things didn't go well for Achan, just like God promised. Just like Joshua promised. And just like his people promised back to Joshua. They called Achan out. They didn't know who it was. They cast lots, and the lot fell to his tribe, the lot fell to his family, the lot fell to Achan himself. And they said, fess up! So he did. He told them, yeah, I took the stuff. He was already, I mean, it was him. He knew it. But he pled guilty. Yeah, I did it. Stuff's back in my tent. It's underneath, and silver's under that. And so they went and got it. Sure enough, the guys came back and said, yep. What did he get? Because he faltered? Because he fell? He was stoned by the whole tribe. Not just him, but his family. And all his stuff. Everything he owned. Livestock. All of it was destroyed. Got to make sure we don't slip up at the end. After you're done and you think you're finished, don't let your guard down. Continue to be strong and courageous. Continue to go forward. Point four is right up there with three in my book. We got to be strong and courageous for one another. Sometimes we just have to encourage each other. Because we see people like Achan every day. We see people ready to fall. You got to stop them. You got to help them. Reach out your hand. Look, that's not what you want to do. You can do this. You can continue. Be strong. Like Paul and Silas, They encouraged each other. Heck, they encouraged the whole prison. We just heard, 2 weeks ago? They're in stocks, like their legs were totally bound in the worst part of the jail. And that was nice when he was saying, oh yeah, solitary confinement. You think they had a bathroom there to go? No. They had to soil themselves. Just the filth and the wretched part of being in the worst part of the jail was horrible enough. But they encouraged each other. And they shouted out to God in praise and sang. They encouraged each other and the people that could hear them through the prison. And they even encouraged the prisoner. The guy that was keeping them there. The guy that was in charge of the prison. Because after the chains fell off and the doors broke open because of the earthquake that God sent, the prison guard was going to come in and kill himself. Because he knew all these doors are open, they couldn't even see, and he knew they all escaped. So to do the honorable thing, he was going to kill himself. They said, wait! Don't hurt yourself. We're here. All of us. We're all here. And he took a guy at his worst moments. His worst moment. He was ready to kill himself. And he turned it around. Not only did he turn it around, they encouraged him so much so that he gave his heart to the Lord. That he turned, and not only he, but his whole family started to believe. Now, we can be that same light. We can be the light that draws people to the light himself. Jesus, Son of God. Worship team, you can kind of work your way up here. Hopefully it won't go too much longer. See, one of the things I love about this kettlebell community, we call each other a community, we love about this kettlebell thing that I do is everybody is so encouraging to each other. And it's not just me, but everybody really kind of encourages each other. And that's unheard of in sports. Usually you're out to get the other guy, and yeah, you got a team you root for, but well, I'm not rooting for that other team. That's not the way it is. People are always cheering for each other. You know, usually there's a couple guys up on a platform at a time doing their lifts, and we all know how hard it is. So I truly think that's what kind of bonds us together, because it takes everything you can to get through that 10 minutes. And people just continue to encourage you through the whole time, shouting, praising you. And Eddie's, I have to brag on her. She quotes scripture to me when I'm up there. And really helps get through. But there's a doctor that competes with this. I mean, she's a gynecological surgeon, I think. Super smart lady. And she made a comment to me afterwards, like a day or so later on Facebook, and just said, you know, thank you. You're really sincere, and your encouragement means a lot. You're not only and she used these words, you're not only a light to me, but you're a light to this community. And I was like, wow. That's what I prayed. That's pretty cool. Because see, we shouldn't just do that, like, I'll just do it there, but we should all do this. I got somebody at work that she's not a believer, from what I know. She's definitely trying to find out about what I have inside of me that makes me smile all the time, even when things aren't going my way. She came to me on Friday and asked if I know you do pray and stuff, because they had me pray before our meals and stuff at work. But I know you pray and stuff. Could you ask your church to put me on the prayer thingy or whatever you guys have, prayer chain or whatever? And I said, yeah, I can do that. What's going on? And she said, my low back, I'm having some real issues, my lower vertebrae and stuff. I said, okay. I said, would you mind if I pray with you now? No, yeah, okay. You know, so I prayed with her, and actually my boss came in and we prayed together. I said, I'm believing for your healing, you know, and I'll continue to pray. And I'll do you one better. I'll do you one better than just putting you on a prayer chain to send out by email. I said, I'll talk about you Sunday morning as I'm preaching. And I'll ask everyone to join with me in prayer, because I believe we need to encourage each other and not be ashamed about it. Stand up here or wherever you are in the moment and say, yeah, I'll pray for you. You know, could be at the grocery line. Could be wherever you are. Don't be ashamed of who you are. God's living inside of you. Be strong. Be courageous. He designed you to be bold. Now, I'm going to pray for Tony right now, if you allow me. Father, I lift up my friend Tony to you. I pray that you touch her back right now, that any issue she's having with swelling or bone spurs or whatever the issue is, God, you don't need an MRI to tell you what's going on. And I don't need an MRI to ask you for her healing. So, Lord, I'm asking right now boldly that you touch her back, and that tomorrow she gives us a good report of how she's feeling. Because, Lord, she knew that we were going to stand in the gap for her today. That's exactly what I'm doing, Lord. I thank you ahead of time, because I don't want to forget that part. I thank you ahead of time for the healing you're giving her. We love you, God. Amen. Now, one last scripture. 1 Peter 3:15 says, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this in gentleness and respect. Don't beat them over the head with that Bible you're holding. Be there when they're ready to go into the battle. Help them prepare. Be there when they're in the battle. Help them get through. Be there after the battle's over so you can keep them from stumbling. Help them to be strong and courageous, because someday you'll need it too. We're called to be bold. I challenge you to go out and be bold today.